winner at the buzzer and Zion's just sitting there motionless.
Yeah, like, just like you have him at the lottery, you have him at these games, at the sweepstakes games.
I'd be all for this. And I love, like, people were, when we were talking about the draft lottery, I think it was the day after. The day after, you know, and the Bulls, or people are disappointed and the Bulls end up seventh.
Yeah.
That a lot of people just kind of flooded, say, hey, why don't, can we change this? Here are some different ways that maybe we could change this. I just think that it'd be a good addition. And I, you know, I'm a Prem League fan. Arsenal's my squad. We are still got one more shot at getting back into the Champions League. And it's coming up with the game in Baku.
Tomorrow, right?
So we got one more chance, but if we win the Europa League. So I love the idea of something else to play for. And to stop the dread of January, February, March basketball in the NBA, where fans don't care. They don't care. And now you say, well, your team is improving towards the end of the year. Prove it. Let's see it. Like with the Bulls, for example, you're getting better, right?
Yeah.
All right, great. Now you're in this tournament. Let's see what you got, Jim Boylan. Let's see what the Bulls are we?
Not much.
I but probably that's the most agree
intriguing
with you.
Part is now you get to put an actual percentage, number, of value on wins that you'd otherwise thought, oh, these are good for our franchise. These are, yeah, sure, it hurts the draft pick status a little bit later on, but we can prove to you, they say, that these wins get us closer later on.
Sure, well, yeah, now Arsenal you have too, by the way, for. Today.
Do you like
Sorry,
my idea?
Oh, I thought it was Arsenal's
tomorrow. Do you like my idea of maybe rewards points where instead of assigning a value, if you win this tournament, you can decide how to spend your treasure, that you could either move up in the draft or get a certain pick in the draft if you want, or you get you can get salary cap relief, or you can potentially, depending on who's involved in this, you could change your playoff seeding. And there's any number of ways you could spend what you've won.
I heard you talking about the salary cap relief, and I was sitting there going, I don't, like, that's a harder sell to me as a consumer. Like, if I'm just your average Bulls fan and you go, hey, you guys, if you win, You can get some salary cap relief. It doesn't feel as good as if you win the whole thing, you get Zion.
Of course not. I'm just wondering if to get more teams interested to say there are multiple avenues to get you closer to winning a championship. That might also, as you point out, give you multiple avenues to game the system and pocket a bunch of money and leave the fans high and dry.
Yeah. Right. No. I don't want
can't
that.
Can't imagine him
right.
doing that.
Yeah, about,
sure.
I've decided that
criticism.
I don't want that thing. I want the fun of it. I love that way the NBA could get some of that juice that the NCAA tournament has, where even people who aren't necessarily NBA fans might be like, oh, one and done situation? I'm down with that.
Gamblers could look at market inefficiencies. Absolutely.
Would you want to give something to players, though, for this extra tournament? Is there more incentive? You know, I don't know why I'm stuck on this like outgoing free agent thing, or the guy who's playing, you know, he's not playing for this team because there's not a spot for this guy on this team next year, but he's playing for 29 others, that kind of thing.
All right.
Are there ways to make that tournament?
And let's add from everywhere. Since we're adding from soccer, let's add from basketball, the TBT, the basketball tournament. We're also going to put a cash incentive into this thing where at the end of this deal, because of the TV money that we're going to get.
And whatever Under Armour is paying as the title sponsor, they can sneeze that money.
We're going to have a $2 million prize that's going to be split up amongst the roster of the winning team.
Sure.
So now you've got all this stuff and now you've got money on the line.
Cash
too.
Talks. That works. That works.
There. We have now fixed the NBA. How do you guys feel about that?
That was easy.
I feel pretty great.
Did not take long.
That was like the scene in the movie Dave when they balanced the budget.
Buddy from the accounting office.
He's got his legal pad out.
Speaking of which, this is more geeky, but it speaks to what you just said. I just read Jupiter's Legacy.
Oh, yeah. I've seen this.
You need to get on it.
Okay.
They're going to make it a Netflix thing.
Oh.
So I would highly recommend it.
Okay. All right. I'll get
highly recommend it. And
thumbnail.
It's superheroes from the 30s, their children in today, what they do, and the combination of where does being a civic leader and hero blend in with government. and it's really
what responsibility do you have to the greater good?
It's really, really good.
It's a Mark Miller, right?
So you can just put that on your list of things.
We got a couple of flights coming up. It's probably decent for it.
I think you will enjoy it, especially that kind of nexus of the superhero world with the real world. I mean, literally, Dan, one of the characters is like, I'm the smartest person on the planet. Why am I not helping the American government figure out the budget? It's like one of the actual conversations that goes on in the comic book. Like, hey, I'm here with Obama's cabinet. Maybe they should ask me how to fix this since I'm the smartest person on the planet.
All right.
Who plays Theo Epstein in the movie?
I believe it's going to be Josh Duhamel. We'll see. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station. That is Bernstein and McKnight. You can hear them every day, 9 a.m. until noon, right here on The Score. Tony, we got a lot of work to do today. The top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Nothing. And The Rock means nothing. Beats championship hockey, and your Chicago Wolves have advanced to the Calder Cup Finals. The Wolves will host Charlotte in games 3, 4, and 5 next week at Allstate Arena. Enjoy discounted concessions and free parking courtesy of Kia. For more information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
You guys talk about some of the generational differences between you.
Well, that's one reason why we did the show. There's a huge gap between us. So I don't understand a lot of what he and his friends listen to. I don't understand the music. I don't know half of the words they say.
Are you embarrassed right now by this?
No, examples, please.
I'll give an example.
Oh,
okay.
No.
Examples of stuff that you'll say that she has no idea what you're talking about.
Talk about who you listen to music-wise.
Lil Baby, Gunna, Rich the Kid.
No idea.
Yeah, you've never heard of any of them.
But I think Lil Baby was on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, you said he was horrible. Well, so
he was terrible. They can't sing. It's all they can't sing.
This is
right.
Make me a bicycle clown.
Hearing Peggy Kaczynski's thoughts on mumble rap was fantastic on yesterday's show. Tell you that right now. This hour is being brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock today. The crew, Tony Gill is executive producer. What? Christopher Dickens is here? Come on. That is great. Is Campy got a vacation? Good for him. And Ray Diaz is just back there being pleasant because he's a nice guy. That's how he rolls. We have a lot of cool stuff on today's show today. We're going to kind of bounce to a bunch of different places on the show. 1240, Darren Georgia, who is a sports photographer, is going to join us. He was the photographer that got hit with the ceremonial first pitch last night. So we're going to talk with him about that and some of the great photos that he's taken of both baseball teams over the last few years and the football team, too, because he does some good stuff with the Bears. At 1 o'clock, I want to introduce you to someone that I had an incredible football conversation with. If you like sexy football, 1 o'clock, you will want to be here because we talked a lot about RPOs and the Bears and why they use it and why this is proliferated to the NFL. I think that you will enjoy the conversation. Also on the show today, I would like to have a conversation about the White Sox and the All-Star game. I'll just leave it there for now. But we start the show, as we start all things, with the rundown.
Run them down.
The rundown.
Today, it's your rundown for Wednesday, May 29th. Okay. Why don't we, before we get to the baseball, why don't we start with the insanity that is going on in the NBA right now, specifically with the Los Angeles Lakers of Los Angeles and their problems with leadership and Magic Johnson out there sinking the entire franchise every time he opens his mouth, like last night.
You can judge me by trades I made. You can judge me by
I didn't have enough shooters. Yes. Did I do some things wrong? Of course. And I admitted those things. I'm not a guy who's going to run from the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. And also, you can talk bad about me if I did something wrong. I don't mind that. Whether it's on ESPN or other shows. Say that Magic made mistakes because I learned from my mistakes. But I'm going to also tell you what I didn't do. I've never gotten called from Starbucks, from Sony when I had to deal with Magic Johnson Theaters. I can keep going right now. Sodexo, all the partnerships I have, the Dodgers and Guggenheim. Nobody has ever called me and said Magic mistreated an employee, ever. And that would never happen.
This thing has gotten real bad, so bad that Rob Pelinka is out here lying about Kobe Bryant meeting with Heath Ledger after Heath Ledger had died. He needed to explain all of this stuff.
I remember just a really quick story. There was one time when Kobe, who I worked with for 18 years, was going back to play in Madison Square Garden, and he had just seen The Dark Knight. Obviously, you guys saw that movie. And he's like, hey, hook me up with dinner with Heath Ledger, because he got so locked into that role. I want to know how he mentally went there. And so he had dinner with Heath, and he talked about how he locks in for a role, and Kobe used some of that in his game.
Great.
Against the Knicks in terms of mental preparation.
And so he's there with The Rock, and I feel like The Rock
is... You liar!
Yeah, I feel like The Rock is trying really hard to move him off of that story. It's possible. I don't know if Kobe was a member of SAG, the Screen Actors Guild, at the time. It's possible that he got a screener of The Dark Knight. But I will say that people have done some sleuthing on this, and the time where the Lakers would have played the Knicks while Heath Ledger was still alive, he was in Australia. So, I mean, it's just bad. It's bad all the way around for the Los Angeles Lakers of Los Angeles. Really, really bad. On to baseball. Should we go Cubs or White Sox first? We'll go White Sox first. White Sox last night, finally, Yomer Sanchez has to be the one running away from the Gatorade bath instead of delivering it to himself or a teammate.
Here's a drive to right field. Well hit. Back goes the...
Wait, that's Pat Hughes. I thought we were going to do White Sox first.
Sanchez breaks down the castle wall, and the Sox win 2-1. What will Yomer do?
He ran. He didn't take the Gatorade and pour it on himself. They had to chase him down, and they did. Lucas Giolito, fam, another great outing from him.
And there is strike three. Soler goes away. 1-2. Change up for strike three. Back-to-back punch outs for Lucas. That is strike three, a fastball that runs middle away. And three straight punch outs for Lucas. 2-2. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Fastball for the fourth strikeout for Lucas Giolito. Dozier swings and misses. Giolito's fired up. Strikeout number five for Lucas. Seven in a row retired by Giolito. Make it eight. And that was a very accurate final pitch of the top of the fifth for Lucas Giolito. There's strike three. Fastball blitzed him. Seven punch outs for Lucas Giolito tonight. As Lucas guns down another Dozier, wiped out by Giolito. That's strikeout number eight. His co-pilot with the call. Lucas puts him away. A high fastball and hot hand. Lucas continues on. Just burying the Royals. 14 in a row. The blitzkrieg continues. 2-2. He struck him out. Lucas is amped again.
Highlights courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. So is that the nickname? Warm Hand Lucas? I see what you did there, Jason Benetti. I see. Why don't we hear from Lucas? Let's hear from Lucas Giolito on why things have gone so well for him.
Now the velocity is starting to go up a little bit more, just feeling confident, getting into my legs. You know, it's been a long road, but I'm happy that I'm able to make the adjustments I need to make mid-game, pitch to pitch, and executing pitches. Yeah, it's just what I knew that I had in me somewhere, but I just kind of took a long time to figure it out, I guess.
Giolito, over his last three starts, 22 innings pitched, 4 earned runs, 10 hits, 23 strikeouts for the season, a 2.85 ERA and a 0.98 whip. Fantastic. We move on to the Cubs, who have been struggling a little bit, and it's been a little bit of everything. And when you do that, when you've got all sorts of different things going wrong with your team, a team like the Astros can definitely exploit it. But the Cubs did go yard yesterday.
Here's a drive to right field. Well hit. Back goes the right fielder, Fisher, to the wall. Gone. Addison Russell, a home run. Cubs go back to back. Here's a swing and a high drive to deep left. Get out the tape measure. This one is long gone. Up on the train tracks for David Bodie. Bodie hits one in the air to right field and deep. Back goes Fisher. Fisher at the wall. It's got a chance. Gone. Two-run homer, David Bodie. Schwarber hits a high drive. Deep right center. This ball's got a chance. Tie game. Kyle Schwarber with a towering home run to right center in the bullpen. It almost hit the ceiling before it landed in that bullpen. And just like that, this ball game is tied 6-6.
Yeah, but then things got untied because Alex Bregman is a bad man, too.
His pitch to Bregman is hit to deep right center. Back toward the wall. Gone. A home run. Alex Bregman on the first pitch from Brad Brock. Belts one over the right center field fence. And Houston has the lead once again. It's 8-6.
The Cubs would go on to lose the game, and John Lester struggles through another start. So that's three in a row for him. Here's what he thought about his performance.
I don't really know. I mean, the results are the results, so you can't really run away from those. I feel like stuff was there. But like I said, results are results, so you can't really you can say you had good stuff and made good pitches. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. It is what it is.
It's been rough for Lester over the last three starts, and that concludes our rundown for Wednesday, May 29th. And yes, Arsenal is playing 2 o'clock today in Baku. Hopefully a win, and the Champions League backdooring our way into the Champions League would be very, very nice. We're going to spend some time talking about the Cubs and John Lester coming up in the next segment. Especially considering, you know, we had Joe on, and I felt like Joe really broke down well what some of the issues have been with John Lester, and Tommy Hotovy got in on the action earlier this morning. So we're going to do that. And I am going to give away the Bandwagon Champ guys gave me a couple of t-shirts. Northside, Southside. I'm going to give two away on the show, and I'll give the Northside one away coming up in the next segment. So be listening to win. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and you're listening to The Score.
Lawrence Holmes here. Check out my podcast, Loho Daily. I record it every day. It's me doing stuff that I can't get to on the show. Sports stuff, geek stuff, whatever's on my mind that day.
And I'm glad that the Bears are out here trying to make these kickers earn their jobs.
Check out Loho Daily. Download the latest episode now from the radio.com app or online at 670thescore.com.
This is John Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute. If Dustin Pedroia never plays baseball again, it will be a shame. Pedroia was moved by the Red Sox to the 60-day disabled list on Monday, and at 35, there are serious doubts about whether he can play again. I'm not sure, he said when asked if he thought he'd ever see the field again. If this is the end for Pedroia, he will leave behind a remarkable legacy. For almost 11 years, he was the heart and soul of the Red Sox, a career 300 hitter who won a Silver Slugger Award and 4 Gold Gloves at second base. He was the 2008 American League MVP. Hall of Fame stuff, but Pedroia was about more than numbers. He was always looked up to in the clubhouse and a key figure in two World Series championships, 2007 and 2013. He hurt his left knee in 2017 and had major surgery that offseason. He's only played 9 games the last 2 seasons. Here's hoping he can find health one more time. I'm John Feinstein.
Race fans, join Sycamore Speedway this Friday for Spectator, Powder Puff, Soccer Stalker, and Compact Combat Racing, plus Figure 8 one-on-one drags and Soccer Stalker car demo. Saturday, it's late model, street stocks, pure stocks racing, plus Badger Midgets. Visit SycamoreSpeedway.com.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, I got the brush off again. I don't get it. Is there something wrong with the way I wave? Elbow wrist. Why won't that little basset hound acknowledge me? I'm friendly. I give everyone peace of mind when I protect their homes through Progressive. He should be jumping for joy.